Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 21 of Capes and Commentaries. I'm your co-host, Nathan Kennedy, joined by Tyler Baker. And Tyler, I got some authentic bedhead going on because, I mean, if we're going to do a show about Saturday morning cartoons and the like, I got to be accurate. Actually, I just rolled out of bed probably about a half hour ago.
And you're wearing a classic 80s wrestling t-shirt as well, too. So, you know, we're going back to 1985 here. So might as well be sporting, you know, a proper hairdo, a shirt reminiscent of the time, and watching a show that was gigantic in 1985. So,
man, that was the other thing too. Along with Saturday morning cartoons, you had to watch a wrestling afterwards because the plethora of wrestling shows on the weekends sorely missed. I mean, granted, times are a lot different. You got the network, you can watch what you want, but I miss that, knowing that at 6:05 on Saturday night, some WCW action's about to transpire. Good times.
Or I miss the Saturday and Sunday shows of the, you know, the superstars. And I forgot what the Sunday show was, too, because they would always recap what happened on Raw the previous Monday, because I couldn't always stay up to watch Raw, you know, all the whole thing. So that's kind of how I'd get my fix and get caught up on what was going on the weekends, even more Raw and stuff like that too, because watched, you know, WWF stuff on Saturday and WWE on Saturday and Sunday evenings as well too. So I miss that stuff, and especially when their target audience is children a lot, but they want to put it on at times when kids can't watch it, you know. And I've never understood the logic behind that, how they want to put pay-per-views on a Sunday when people have to work the next day instead of putting on a Saturday night when kids and adults don't have to worry about work and school the next day.
Yeah.
I heard Bruce Pritchard say that. And he's like, well, it's Sunday. You know, people are off, like, they have to go to work the next day. Why that? It's just, I never understood the logic.
I never understood it either. And that's why I didn't get as many pay-per-views as I would have liked as a kid. That mostly boiled down to, all right, it's summertime, so it doesn't matter. Or on the rare occasion that the pay-per-view would follow a teacher work day or something the following day, or you knew it was going to snow and it was going to get canceled, so you could actually watch it live. And of course, as I got older, it was a thing of like, I'd get them, watch the repeat, stay up late, sleep 4 hours, wake up, go to school. I know that was probably way different for you because, like you said, with the bedtime thing, I'm imagining back then you probably wanted to stay up to watch more Raw, but there was probably an issue of like, yeah, you need to go to bed. And you're like, I don't want to.
I remember one time in particular, like the main event at the beginning of Raw was announced, it was Shawn Michaels versus Yokozuna. And I was like, oh my God, I have to see this. I pleaded with my mom very calmly, though. And she did allow me to stay up to watch the whole Raw so I could watch that match. But it wasn't all the time because I would just watch the recaps on Saturday and whatever they're playing on Sunday. But because my parents were pretty stringent about, you know, you probably need to go to bed about 9 o'clock, maybe 9:30. But it just, wow. You know, yeah.
That sucks, man. How'd that match turn out? Was it just like a bullshit finish? I bet it was. It had to have been.
It was. I remember like Shawn won in the end. Like I know, and like Yoko didn't win, but I can't remember if it was like a disqualification. I just remember. I'm pretty sure Shawn won. That's what mattered to me as a kid. So I was pumped and ecstatic, and over time, whenever USA would play like Lionheart or Conan the Barbarian at 9 o'clock, because USA would always play movies during the week, but at 9 o'clock. I would ask our dad, my brother, he'd let us stay up and watch Lionheart or let us stay up and watch Conan the Barbarian, you know. So sometimes if my dad was into watching it too, he would all right, we'll stay up and watch Lionheart. Like, yeah!
But what was the finish? I don't know. Shawn Michaels won. That's all that mattered. I don't care how it happened.
I can't remember.
As a kid, I was probably sitting there like, disqualification? This is bullshit.
It didn't matter as long as the babyface won. To me as a kid, that's all that mattered. And I got to hear their music play at the end of the match. I'm like, yeah, man, on top of the world. You know, just didn't matter.
What a lame
like
ass.
Like watching the kid beat Razor Ramon on Saturday. I didn't see it on Raw.
Oh, see, yeah. I saw that on Raw when it happened. Because, man, yeah. those jobber matches. I mean, it makes you wonder. how it stayed as popular as it did at the time, because most of the stuff on TV was just squash matches.
I bought into it every Saturday, watching it, hoping that, you know, this, what I didn't know was a jobber, was going to beat Ted DiBiase, or he was going to beat Mr. Perfect, you know. But I did figure it out, because in my eyes, though, not because that's how it all, but like the heels were so tough that they were almost unbeatable unless a Hulk Hogan came along or something like that. Like that's how I saw it.
Oh, you know? Man. I think even as a kid, I looked at it just and totally different than you. I can imagine us as kids sitting in a room and I would just be totally annoyed with you.
Kind of I was always quiet though. Like I wasn't, you know, making a lot of noise, or like when you see dads today recording the kids watching John Cena lose and they start crying and throwing temper tantrums, or guys crying on camera because Batista wins the Royal Rumble. Like, no, I was always very quiet and reserved when I would watch wrestling. But I do remember jumping up for joy when the kid beat Razor Ramon. Like, I do remember being like ecstatic, because it just like, oh my God, like a job guy beat Razor Ramon? Like, no way.
That pin, though, looks so kind of bad, honestly. Just the over exaggeration with Razor like shaking his legs. Like, he could have easily kicked out of that, because he was like twice his size too. I don't know. I feel like, well,
plus it's in a Madison Square Garden crowd too, you know.
God.
But
anyway.
Well, we don't look at it. Well, because, you know, it wasn't so, you know, far fetched to see a heel kick his legs like he's trying to get out so desperately to sell the fact.
I know, but
as a kid, you buy it all.
Yeah.
Like, smart mark like Nathan Kennedy when you're 6 years old. You're like, nah, I don't believe it. Mom, you buy this bullshit.
Two stars. Nathan,
you get those socks up?
Two stars.
Like, do it later, Mom. Yeah, two stars.
Anyway, we are we're back this week with more Thundercats and Lord of the Snows. Tyler, what's the reasoning behind this pick this week?
I've always been a big fan of the Snowman of Hook Mountain since I was 4 years old. When I saw the figure on the back of the packaging, and the kid that would go on to be my current stepbrother had both the Snowman of Hook Mountain and the Tusken Warrior in daycare, and I just wanted to gravitate over to him and just like, can I have those? Because I had never seen them before or since for many years. It would be like when I was a teenager when I finally come across them, because I just thought they were so cool looking. And finally seeing this episode too, because it wasn't until DVD that it had this episode to rent on VHS in my area. It was available on VHS. And I just always thought the Snowman was such a very cool looking character. And this episode too, it's a world builder. Like, as you see throughout, it references other episodes, like what else goes on in Third Earth, like when the meteor of Thundrillium is passing through, and establishing this new alliance with this character that will show up periodically throughout the rest of the series. It's just fun because it's such a well-done introduction of building up this combative alliance and friendship with the Snowman and Lion-O. They're very well written. There's a lot going on in this episode of like this build up, just trying to get to Hook Mountain. It's just such a tightly packed episode, and it's I just think it's a fantastic episode with a character that's well, like with most general people, it's always about pushing Thundercats, and they don't really acknowledge like the Tusken Warriors, the Snowman, and some of the other world battle in Hachiman. Stuff like that. So I've always been a fan of the alliances that the Thundercats made and the toys that they had too. So I've just always loved the Snowman. So I'll be curious to hear what you have to say about it, because I think this is your first time watching this episode and being introduced to the Snowman, because I don't know if you probably saw like in the card art or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I've seen
where he was a toy.
Yeah, I'm aware of them being in the line and everything, but as far as this episode goes, no. Going into it, I did watch it last night, so I can't say I'm going into this fresh, but
yeah,
I would say also too, before we get going, if you are new to the channel, hit subscribe. If you're joining us from Podbean, or if you're checking us out on iTunes, give the YouTube channel a shot, and maybe pop in and watch us live. There was something else I was going to say too. Oh yes, the link. Usually I tend to find a link for the episode that we're going to watch as an easy access way to join along with us. But in most cases, especially recently, most of the stuff that they have is just not good. So if you got the DVD, pop that in and join along. If you want to purchase the episode on YouTube or iTunes, feel free. Or if you just want to hear us talk and just
let our commentary,
let our voices guide the way as we stray probably at some point and kind of talk about something that doesn't really have to do with the episode. Well, whatever.
I don't think we do that too much. I think we always stray before and after. Like once we get going, I think we're pretty good. It may not be directly about the episode itself, but we still stay on topic about the characters, like whether it's G.I. Joe or Batman or Transformers. Like we're still talking about it. Sometimes we do veer off, but yeah. I don't think that'll happen with this episode because I'll probably be asking you about, you know, so Nathan, tell me, what do you think about this and this and that? And we'll get into that once we get going here because we don't have as much time to play around today because Nathan's got to go to work later this afternoon.
Let's not talk about that right now. I don't want to think about it. Let's concentrate on Thundercats.
Okay.
As I just start like crying.
It's like Chunk starts crying right there on camera.
Well, you just see me like reach off and pull a liquor bottle into frame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just leak up and chug like a big gulp.
Yeah, and then when I sit it down, I'm just like, ugh, blah.
Yeah. Or those big like Joe Don Baker belches.
Yeah. all right. Well, without any further ado, Tyler, count us down, man.
All right, let's head back to Third Earth, people, with 3, 2, 1, kick ass. Such comfort when you see that explosive red logo fly across the universe, all the way to the mountaintop where Linus flexing his muscle.
I said it last week. Do what?
I was going to say, why haven't you got like an adult prop of the Sword of Omens? That'd be so cool on display.
Well, I'm sure you could get one, but I can't imagine
like
how much.
Like an adult
you
would... size. Like
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, but I can't imagine like how much you're going to end up having to pay for that.
Yeah, because they always assume that all of us adults collect an extra $1,000 to shell out for everything. But like, who the hell has always got that kind of money to shell out for Hot Toys and Sideshow collectibles and Gentle Giant and this and that? I'm like, son of a bitch, man. Is everyone else rich but me?
And Constructicon Transformer re-releases at Walmart.
Yeah, for $74. You got to go to layaway because all you can afford is $10 towards it.
And I walked in there last...
I have such a passion... What's that?
I was just going to say, I walked in there last night and just grabbed it off the shelf. And I'm like, yeah, all right, this is mine now.
Yeah, Nathan's laughing, but now I feel like Jim Carapid. Lord of the Snows. So, I absolutely love this episode. The snowman, and I like the opening because it references the Burbles. Because Snarf's out picking candy fruit, which is a reference to the episode Burbles. Which I still would like to do that episode too, because I always thought the Verbals were cool. I just like how this episode, as I mentioned earlier, has a lot of nods to like the Tree Maidens. You see them briefly. You see the Verbals, this reference to candy fruit, the unicorns and stuff like that. It's cool just to as a throwback to previous episodes of stuff that we've seen, and just showing that the magnitude of this meteor that's going to be crashing on Third Earth.
Well, that was the thing that I was going to bring up when the scene actually happens, is that was kind of cool to see and just be like, oh, well, who's this? And who's this? Like, that would be kind of cool seeing it for the first time as a kid and just being like, oh, wow, there's so much more here than what you typically get in most of your animated shows. You know, there's all these different races, and it's just nice to see.
Yeah, it's because it just shows that there was a conscious effort that they're putting more thought into this and just make references to the world around you. Like I like that. It's like in a comic book, you know, when you make references to that universe, you just realize just how vast, you know. Even though the show's on the Thundercats themselves, and you will see other races and other groups every so often, to see them referenced, it's just kind of remind, it's fun to, because, you know, you're going to like to believe that the Tree Maiden Kingdom, I think in the Thundercutter, like, it's a long ways away in that episode. Like, that's what they tell you. So it's just kind of, just as a reminder that, hey, the whole planet is seeing this.
But, and I also like the fact, too, that, you know, their resources are limited here.
Yeah.
So the entire purpose of this is, like, they need to get it to repower their lair.
And I remember it, when I was younger, too, the term Thundrillium and Thundranium, which is the element that weakens Thundercat, which is, I'd pull that from the Ghost Warrior, for example. It used to confuse me a lot as a kid because I would hear them say, we need pure Thundrillium because it's going to strengthen our vehicles and give us power. But Thundranium weakens us. I'm like, wait a second here. I used to get so confused by that just because I didn't catch the drain and the drill.
Yeah.
I just heard the thun. And, but it there's the Tree Maidens there.
Yep.
And Queen Willa. And then there's the unicorns. And here comes the burbles here in a moment, I believe. They're the burbles. Yeah, robotic teddy bears. Like, it sounds silly, but they're not written as like obnoxious characters. That I like the burbles. I love living near some burbles. They're such nice. I just love like this image of Hook Mountain, because a lot of shows have always got like some sort of ice or snow episode or character icer. Even G.I. Joe's got snow characters like the Snow Serpent, Snow Job, and Iceberg and stuff like that. You know, so it's always fun to see Batman's got Mr. Freeze. So it's kind of fun to always see, you know, what kind of, you know, because you see that, I don't know what I'm going to call it, cliches, but regular things that you would see in a lot of animated shows. And I just love the whole idea of Hook Mountain. And if you haven't seen it, or you have seen it, like in Thundercats Ho Part 2 and 3, I think even 4. I mean, Snowman of Hook Mountain's in all three of those episodes, and there's a lot of fighting going on at Hook Mountain in those episodes in the Thundercats Ho movie for the beginning of Season 2. A lot of kick-ass stuff in there, and he's used prominently.
I like how Chitara was kind of flirting it a little bit, it seemed like. It's like, yeah. Hey, here, take this. It'll keep you warm so you can think of me. And
yeah, so which I'd be more than happy to accept that from Chitara. And I like Lionel with the cape. Kind of reminds me of like the movie version of He-Man. Like that would be it's a simple variant, but he looks very prominent, regal, and badass with a red cape on.
Yeah, no, it's a good look.
And that quick nod to Jackalman snooping around there, which seeing that castle, like all the way up there, like it's hidden in shadow on top of Hook Mountain. Like all this buildup that we're seeing here. Like, even though it's only like a 22-minute episode, they take great time in building up that this is not just a, you know, we're going to take time, this long time to get to Hook Mountain, especially on foot. Because some episodes, you know, they just kind of, well, we don't have time, let's just kind of get to it there. And I like how they, at least in this episode, really build up the fact that it's a long and very tough terrain to get up to Hook Mountain, because it's not like you can just, you know, ho-hum up there. You know, it's a rough terrain to get up there, and seeing Lionel climb up it by hand.
I'm glad that you went and talked there for a little bit, because I'm assuming that Emily started to move around and the dogs were going crazy. So I was like, all right, well, Tyler's still talking, so this is good.
Oh, I heard it, but I'm like, I'm not, you know, because I was just like, just keep going, because Nathan's gonna be like, oh my God, man, the barking.
Well, that's why I hit the mute button.
Oh, okay.
So, people can't hear that. Yeah, like as soon as I start to hear that shit, I'm like, all right, mute.
Castle Plundar.
Yeah, it's just the cool art, the thought that went into it of these looks is just, I said it before last week. I would say animation wise, this is probably the best out of all of these shows.
Yeah,
this time period,
you would really have hard. I mean, it would be a strong contender in court amongst all the great animated shows of the 80s because of the not just the opening and the music, but just the whole episode itself. I mean, it was just very fluid, very beautiful paintings they would use to expand it, and then all like the exposition scenes like this of the mutants just talking about how they're going to attack Lionel. Like, it looks great. Their mannerisms. I mean, everything's just animated so well. And, of course, as Nathan may not know, this is Vulture Man's first appearance that's coming soon. And the only thing that bothers me is because Vulture Man's voice is not the voice that he would have later on. Like, his voice is completely different here.
And, well, all right. Well,
when I saw it,
do you prefer this voice over the one later, or do you prefer that one?
The one later. It's not because that was the one I saw as a kid, but that's like this one. In some shows too, they're still trying to figure out, you know, the voices for characters. Like Slythe, Monkey, and Giacomo were all figured out from the get go, and in the episode Exodus and the Unholy Alliance. Vulture Man will show up again in a few more episodes, and he's got his quintessential, you know, it's not a very good impression, but a feliner. I think that's when he shows up again with Rotaro. But that's the quintessential Vulture Man voice. And I know we'll get to that at some point, and Nathan will get to hear what Vulture Man really, because that's how he sounds throughout the rest of the series. Like after that, like this was just kind of a pilot voice, I guess you could say, for Vulture Man. But it's not bad by any means, but it's just not as great as what he would eventually be voiced like. And showing the tension built up here. They're out of power until they get that Thundrillium. I thought I was going to say Thundranium there for a second. But yeah, it's... It makes sense too that if all their equipment runs on elements of their planet, you know, it would be scarce. And to feel like, you know, this makes sense. It doesn't feel like something, this seems kind of just shoehorned in there just for like random danger. So an entire meteor made of it, I'd assume it will probably last them quite a while.
Well, I guess at least the context of what they're trying to go for with this episode.
Yeah.
It was this ever a thing where they would do this and then it's just sort of forgotten about
over time? Not really. I mean, they have kind of random dangers that pop up like they do in every episode. And there's some continuity to it too. But I mean, obviously if Thundrillium pops up, they're like, hey, we can use it. But in terms of like this, Thomas Guerra, if he's listening to this, he might correct me on this one because he knows Thundercat's pretty damn good too. Like that's his like number one. So if I goof that, he may correct me on that one. But I don't recall there being a situation like this where it's like they're completely like done. And plus, I'd also like to think too the fact that the Burbles helped them build it, but not every absolute thing of the Cat's Lair would run strictly on Thundrillium. When the Burbles, you know, probably supplied them with other energy resources as well. But that's just kind of thinking about it, you know, logically and based on what you've seen, just kind of having fun with it. If you pick it apart too much, then you take some of the fun out of it.
Well, it's kind of like that with anything, really. If you start to just pick it apart, then it loses all of its meaning and fun half the time. So
as we're approaching this, and I love I was talking over it, but just the first shot of the ice castle itself. Here he comes on Snow Meow, looking like absolute badass.
Yeah, no, it's a good look.
Yeah,
it's a good
gimmick.
It's a good gimmick.
Oh hell yeah! And I just his face, like he looks kind of ape like, kind of you know, like a simian slash man slash. You know, and I like they give him an accent that sounds like he could be kind of like an Eskimo almost. And it's a shame they didn't make a Snow Meow for the actual figure. Like with the miniature toy line that came out along with the LGN line, they did release a 2-pack of Snowman and Snow Meow, which I thought, oh man, that'd be so cool to have. I didn't have any of those as a kid.
Well, time to hit eBay and pay triple the price there.
Oh, I know. I do have a couple of them. I did buy them at a comic show at the Blacksburg Mall about a year or so ago. Pretty cheap, but I've yet to see them too often in person. But this is such a great introduction, especially when you see a character that's in the toy line. Like, oh, right. But it's not just thrown in for you know, here's a toy you can buy. Like, this whole story is revolves around these two building an alliance, and that it's going to have to be earned. Like, I like that.
I like the aspect of that too. A lot, actually. The fact that he was just like, hey, I bring friendship and honor. And he's like, well, prove it. It's
not something you would see a whole lot in children's animation, a story like this. That, and it's a full-on, like, fight. It's not, you know, wham, bam, trip, fall, okay. Like, no, it's like the snowman's giving him a little bit of credit, but just his power over ice here.
Yeah, I like that too. Badass. That he can just take that and turn it into a club.
Yeah, it's cool. I've often wanted to see like a crossover illustration of like Icer from He-Man and Snowman of Hook Mountain and come up with some sort of illustration for like Axel or Kevin to draw, like binding those two universes. Because it just seems so fitting. I'd love to see Icer and Snowman duke it out. And just his whole look with, I mean, the big kind of knight's helmet with the visor, the face guard, and he's got the ice shield, he's just such a big imposing character to begin, and then come out on a giant tiger or a giant cat, like a leopard or a snow leopard or something like that, you know, about the size of a battle cat. You know, it's just like, God, it just makes him look so, so cool. And I like that, even though like Jaga's going to chime in here, you know, Lionel's pride of like, and it makes sense. Like, if you're going to be the Lord of the Thundercats, you're going to have to like, you know.
It's good that he realizes that he needs to prove himself as a leader, you know, it got handed to him and he's running with it and he can be an asshole. Like he genuinely wants to prove himself.
And realizing that, you know, if I did call the others, that's just saying I can't do this on my own. Like, I have to earn this man's trust without the help of others. And even though he's going to use his power over cats, it's also showing that, look, I'm not a force to be, you know, taken lightly. Like, you know, yeah, I may be a youth to you, but I'm quite strong. I've got powers, and I'm just here to be your friend and take something that you have no use for. So, I love it.
I like this part here. Once he starts going, just that look on his face of like, yep, certain death. Ah, like so yep. Happy about it too. And is this as a kid, this is kind of crazy to watch. He just gets thrown in this like huge pit and you're just like, well, all right, I guess he's dead.
Yeah. And of course he goes in so far and we're able to hear that he's, you know,
oh, I like that part too. It's like, are you down there? You just hear,
Yeah, it's like someone being kicked in the balls in Pulaski County High School.
Well, even Lionel was like, well, I can't make friends with a dead man, you know, like that.
Yeah, I always loved that line when I heard that the first time. I was like, we came here to make friends. I can't make friends with a dead man. Like, I just think that's very, very cool. And just all this going on, this whole buildup of establishing Snowman in this universe. And now the friendship's going to start to build here. And then here come the mutants. I just thought, God.
And it's a plot that's not reliant on Momra either, which is also good.
I like that a lot too. Because
I do too. It's good because too many of these shows rely so much on their main villain being the villain each episode. And it's like, no, it's good that you don't have to rely on that so much.
No, what makes that so special too is that, you know, even though they work with Mom-Ra, the mutants operate on their own an awful lot throughout the show. And there's quite a few episodes like Slaves of Castle Plundar, Jackalman's Rebellion, to name a couple. And then there's some episodes too where the actual like mutants will turn on the rest of them, like Jackalman's Rebellion, Vultureman's Revenge, Monkeyman's Bargain. Slide is the only one that did not turn on the group. Like, everybody else is like, had enough of this shit. I'm going out on my own. But Sly, being the leader, was like the only one that you know, never decided, I don't need you all. I'll go off on my own too. I thought it was kind of interesting. But that's what makes it fun, is that you don't have to rely on Mom-Ra because the mutants are such a dominant faction. And then the Berserkers would come along, and so would the Lunatics. So you've got quite a few groups of villains that you can play around with, and not just strictly what's Mamra's latest scheme. And I always found it more fascinating, too, when you would see the henchmen in any show, like they're the main villain of the show, and they're not working with Skeletor or Mamra or, you know, Megatron. Like when you see a Starscream or a Trapjaw and Merman working on their own without Skeletor or something. I always thought that was really cool. Show you how big the snowman is. They're just hanging on to Lino's back.
Snowman just like getting its shit in.
Yeah. Which, you know, he's always portrayed so strongly in these episodes, and it really is a shame that they didn't make a Snow Meow with the actual toy line, because he's always written very cool, just as a very strong steed anytime he shows up. And I really wish they had done that. And hopefully if Mattel decides to pull the trigger and stick to it and give us more Thundercat classics, that we would get a Snow Meow and a Snowman like Tupac, you know, and get all the mutants.
Yeah, we'll just just hit up Joe and get him to paint you a battle cat.
Yeah, Joe, we can't have, you know, a Snow Meow as a Smurf or something like that. We can't have that. We need to have a full-on Snow Meow. You know, maybe that's what it was. We would need to have Joe would probably just need a battle cat or a Panther and paint that white and blue. Yeah, I think Joe could do it with a – yeah, Joe, if you're listening to this, I'd be curious. You know, do it just – if Joe happens to have like an extra battle cat, that's what he should do. He should sell a Snow Meow using a Panther. God, man, I'm tired of being right.
It must be exhausting.
Here's the Thunder Tank to come in and kick ass. And this was probably the only vehicle the mutants used that was not turned into a toy.
So that's kind of surprising. There's a few things in this episode that didn't make it to the line.
Yeah, the Flying Machine would show up again in, I think, Jackalman's Rebellion. But they would use, like, the Nosediver, the Thundercutter, or not Thundercutter, the Nosediver, the Skycutter, and the Fist Pounder. That would be, like, the prime vehicles for them. And I love this conclusion here. You see Snarf with Snow Meow. Like, the dialogue is just so, so well done. Like, it's not hammy or silly. It's very mature. This panning shot here, too. I mean, all of it. It's just so well shot. Look how big he is.
Snarf, just not liking that too much.
Get the hell off me. I like that. It's just so cool. Well, champion of the snow is like, I think that's so cool. And then pan shot of Hook Mountain gives me goosebumps.
Hard so nipples.
Cool. Hard nipples all the way. And then, oh, man, it's like being 4 or 5 years old when the show's over. Oh, God. No more joy, no more happiness.
Until you go to Hills and you get to go down the toy aisle.
Yeah. But see, when I would see this, would always be early in the morning, you know. And it was just like you just would grasp to anything, like Silverhawks and Bionic Six and Thundercats. You know, like, oh, man, like it's like you've got absolute joy for 30 minutes and that 30 minutes just goes by. You're like, oh, God, what do I do now? I got to go to school. Shit.
See, now I'm in the same boat because doing this, and it's like, oh, I get to go to work now. Fantastic.
Ah, such a well. What are your initial thoughts after when you watching it now? Like, what do you know, looking back?
It's like as we were discussing before. I like that this show has a lot of plots that just don't rely on. Well, what's Mumra's latest scheme? You know, it seems. Now, I'm sure it probably falls into bits of patterns, but it's nice to see that this show has a lot of world building. It makes you seem like, all right, this is an Earth with multiple inhabitants. It's not just like, here's this and here's this. There's there's a middle area to the show, yeah. And the animation's top notch. Like I've always said, I feel like this is the best animation out of all the shows.
I'll love you saying that because I just like you get it. So when people come along and shit on the show,
actually, that show sucks.
Yeah, it's like it's insipid like plots and silly dialogue, and oh, they're naked on the first episode. Let me make a bunch of sexual jokes about it. Prick. Just smack the shit out of people. It's like, I always hate it when people's like, dude, we get it. They're giving their clothes, but they're not sporting like tits and cocks. You know, it's just, God, it's just like everyone has to act like they're back in middle school again, making, you know, you said penis. You know, just well, like,
people got to poke and prod at things. It's just
yeah, but it's like, look, if you're gonna make jokes, put some effort into it. Have some wit. Don't just throw out something that's just about as white bread as it's like saying the chicken crossed the road to get the other side. Hot dog, how do they do it? You know, it's just like, just shut the hell up, man. Yeah. You're offering nothing to society, and let alone to this cartoon. So just keep your mouth off the internet.
Go know? To hell.
Yeah, and go to hell. But I've said before, there are people out there whose sole purpose when they talk about Thundercats, He-Man, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Sonic 6, Brave Star, Silverhawks, is they want to shit all over them. Well, we're the 180 of that. We want to remind you that, you know what, you don't have to laugh at those morons. And when you just go back down memory lane, and think, oh, all the shows I watched as a kid, they were really lame because of all this jerk-offs on YouTube. You listen to us. No, 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 no. There is balls big enough to come in a dump truck with every single one of these shows.
Who did you steal that from?
Harry Funk.
Okay.
From Roadhouse.
Oh, you know, yeah. Okay.
I heard you had balls big enough to come in a dump truck, but you don't look like much to me. You know?
I
stole that from Terry Funk.
Okay.
I steal a lot, but I steal from the best.
Yeah, it sucks that I was just like, wait, what's that from? From fucking Roadhouse. I need to watch Roadhouse. But before we like kind of get into the closing anymore thoughts, I do want to say hello to JSP and Who Dat Whale, who joined us live. I think there's a third person in here, but they're not in the chat. But thank you, guys. And Who Dat Whale says that he loves the shirt. And, I mean, who wouldn't? I look good in purple.
Yeah. And is that soft material too? It's not like that.
Yeah, I don't even remember where I got this shirt. That was like years
probably
ago.
Probably 80stees.com or something.
No, I didn't get it online. I got it in a store, but I can't remember where. I don't know. I think it's kind of cool that I'm wearing like this purple shirt and you're rocking like just that neon green. We're like the Rockers.
Like Mr. Perfect, man. I was thinking Mr. Perfect.
Well, I'm saying if we're going to be like a tag team, then we're like the Rockers or something. You're the Jannetty, though, obviously. I'm the Shawn Michaels.
Hell no, I got the blonde hair. You're the Jannetty.
No, I got blonde hair too.
No, mine's more blonde than yours. So I got, you know, there's more like more
blonde. But I have more of it.
Just because my hair is shorter than yours, that doesn't mean I'm the Sean. Well, regardless, if I'm the Jannetty and you're the Sean, I'm the one throwing youth at the barbershop window.
Wait, what?
I'm referencing when Sean
no, I know that,
Jannetty in the barbershop.
No, but I was trying to process in my head. Did you say if you were the Jannetty and I was the Sean that I would still be going through the window?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're just altering history now?
Because we can.
Well, so Joe's...
I mean, you know what? You know what?
Is Joe Beefcake?
Yeah.
Fucking beef.
But you know what? Since you're my best friend, I will allow you to throw me through the window because I will sell for Nathan Kennedy.
That's
if Nathan
right.
Kennedy is trying to get over as a heel, I will make him look like $1 million. I will be out there. I'll be like Kurt Hennig in the ring. I'll be flopping all not like Shawn Michaels versus Hulk Hogan at SummerSlam, but I'm going to make it look like, you know, Ultimate Warrior wrestling Mr. Perfect or Rick Rude wrestling the Ultimate Warrior. I want to make Nick look like $1 million. I want to make him look like he's just, you know, he's beating the shit out of me. And when he's getting ready to go for it, he starts palming it right there in the ring and getting the arm like, yeah, he's going to palm it, people.
Joe's in the chat. He's like, why I got to be Beefcake? So, Joe, I don't know if you caught this earlier, but there's a custom you got to make. Tyler, hit him with it.
Yeah, you have got to make Snow Meow out of a panther or a bat. You got the saddle. You've already got the Hulk itself. You just need to paint him in ice blue and white. Oh, my God, Joe. you got a million right there. And it, you just, like, you always go for, like, you always find battle cats on. You got to get a Panther battle cat and paint them like Snowmio. I'm telling you, dude, it's money in the bank already. And it'd be like, I'll think about it.
No, not gonna happen. But yeah, Joe, you gotta be Beefcake, because I don't know, you just look. I think Joe would look sexy wearing the mask and like those shitty tights that Beefcake had that had the slits on the side of his legs. Even as a kid, that was just like, what the hell is he wearing?
It is funny. Like I wonder who, if Joe was a wrestler. Like if we were like who? Well, because Joe would have to be a masked wrestler though. Maybe he could be Aldo Montoya.
There we go.
Yeah, or Battle Cat. He could be Battle Cat.
There you go. Or
Or Battle Cat. Or one of the killer bees.
God, man. so many shit gimmicks, dude.
Well, I was trying to think of another. Oh, the Patriot. There we go. Joe can be the Patriot.
See,
I like the Patriot.
Oh, I thought the Patriot was cool. And the, what was it? Was it GWF that came on ESPN? Mm-hmm. And then, like, he showed up in WWF. And I was like, he sucks now. Like, so I like to
WCW tagging with Buff Bagwell.
Oh, God. When
it was Marcus Bagwell.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that, too.
Yeah. That was when I first saw them. They were like a red, white, and blue tag team. I thought, this is great, man.
They tried so hard to push Bagwell back then. They're like, look at this young kid, this upstart. He's teaming with Sting. He's won the tag titles. And then it's just like they forgot about him. And then he was like Scott Steiner's lackey.
Porn.
Yeah, that, too. What a weird scene that is. He like puts like paint on his face and it's just like terrible. Cause I heard about it as a kid, like middle school and stuff. They're like, Buff's in a porn. And you go and you watch it, and it's like, it's not really a softcore porn. It's just sort of like,
it's like one of the like Showtime porns where they,
yeah,
like you'll see tits, but it's just kind of implied, like, you know, writing and you don't see any
Well, yeah, it's like they're naked. Yeah,
let's talk about this kind of stuff.
They're just, well,
Jesus Christ, man. God, I never thought of like, hey, we're talking about intercourse in the Thundercats commentary. Well, we're all adults here, people. So,
yeah, sorry for any of the kids out there that watch our shows. I kind of feel like by now, if
you've just watched... consider us the sex ed of like cartoon commentaries. And if you got kids, you know, if you're uncomfortable talking about it, just listen to us. We'll show them the ways of being men.
Well, I was going to say, if I would feel by now we're 54 episodes into Beyond Retro, 21 episodes into these. If you kind of don't know the content that you're getting, then it's sort of like at your own discretion. So I can imagine just some kid listening to us and like laughing and his dad like, here, I heard porn. He turns in, your dad, turn that off.
Yeah. Yeah. Turn that shit off. We're going to Target. Referencing something many years ago.
Trying to get the jump on me.
Yeah. If we ever did like a Star Wars discussion about something, which I know I found out, and I don't know if Joe put the kibosh on that one, because I don't know if Joe's too anxious to talk about Star Wars. Like, when I say Star Wars, I mean like
original trilogy. Yeah,
no, we're not acknowledging all the horseshit prequels and all these like newer movies. Just that trilogy, because that's all exists to me. But yeah, well, I'm sure we could find a logical reason to bring up that Midnight Trek to buy Revenge of the Sith figures.
I mean,
so much money.
Yeah, we'll just, we could just bring them up randomly. We don't even have to talk about Star Wars.
Yeah, I guess you're right. So, Joe, you're in the safe. You're in the clear.
Well, he just said that he can do the original trilogy. So, there we go.
Oh, yeah, that's all we... Oh, by the way, I saw, because I know we talked about it a while back, Joe was like, I haven't seen it, guys. I'm going to get out of here. He hated The Last Jedi. I'm like, God. See, now that's something I need to get Joe to elaborate on. Joe just tells someone in a random comment on Facebook, it was a piece of shit. I'm like, Joe, we need more than that. And like, it's not too often Joe comes out and says something's a piece of shit. Because most of the time, Joe's trying to find something positive to say about it, because he's probably practical that way. When he says a piece of shit, I'm like, oh, Joe, you have to elaborate. Because I can't get enough of people trashing that film. Like, even 10 years from now, it's never going to, like, I'm fed up with people, like, trashing Batman and Robin. Like, everyone who was involved in it has apologized for it. No one apologized for Last Jedi. So, until they do, you know, anything's fair game. So, Joe, we got to hear more vocalization of you shitting all over that film.
Well, maybe we can ask him about it tomorrow on Beyond Retro. Sundays at 2 p.m. Link down below.
For our first of what, four Halloween horror movie related episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, I might have an interesting prop set up behind me tomorrow. Figure it out, see how it looks. But
another My Little Pony?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. I knew it. A Beetlejuice figure by chance? Perhaps,
no,
maybe?
No, not a Beetlejuice figure.
Ah, damn.
We'll just have to wait and see for tomorrow. You know what I'm kind of... I need to buy it, but you know what I'm kind of thinking for next week? For the show?
No, when is Danielle supposed to join us for Batman?
I don't...
That's got to be coming up this month.
I don't know. Well, I'll have to get with her. I know she said she was going to put it in her schedule.
But then I also thought about, too, like...
See, I was thinking that was going to be like today. For some reason, I want to say it was the 6th, but it could have been the 13th. I don't know.
I was thinking it was more like mid-October, I thought. But, well, we need to even check with her to see if she's still available.
Yeah, that too. And that's the thing, because now I might not be, because I might be like, oh, you got to work more overtime. And I'd be like, God, please. Yeah.
Well, if you do have to work, we may not have time to do a whole lot, like a 2-hour move. What do you have in mind?
I was thinking Brave Star.
Oh yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. We'll plan that for the next episode of Capes and Commentaries proper. But if things work out and Danielle, maybe we'll do that commentary. If there's if time allots, we will do that. We'll figure something out. But if not, the next proper episode, we'll tackle Brave Star. Tyler, you mull it over and figure out what episode you want to pick, and I'll purchase the set, and we'll off and running like we usually
do. All right. I think I got like an episode in mind of like of what to do already. This is exciting. Maybe I was gonna say maybe Joe would even join us for Brave Star, perhaps. Oh.
Maybe. We'll talk. Joe will talk.
Yeah. Yeah. Beefcake, we'll get back to you.
sit by your phone. Wait for that call.
Yeah, Game Girl. Yeah, wait for
If Beefcake's ever in the Hall of Fame, that's gonna be like the saddest day. People thought it was bad when Coco Beware got in. It's like, no, Beefcake getting in? No, that's
dude, the simple fact they're still putting in shitty celebrities like Donald Trump and Drew Carey in a Hall of Fame related to wrestling. No, I will gladly welcome a Beefcake into Coco Beware because Drew Carey does not need to be acknowledged with anybody going into a WWF Hall of Fame. So I hate that whole celebrity bullshit. Like it's not relevant. They don't make an impact.
Yeah.
You know, God, I hate that. So no, I'm fine with Beefcake getting in, you know, but no, I still want to see. Not, you know,
I don't want him in. Beefcake will never, never want him in. Cause he's just, the only reason he's there is cause of Hogan. That's it. Period.
Well, I mean, there's no
talent. He's a shitty promo. I don't even know how he got like the barbershop. Cause most of those were bad. The only thing anyone ever remembers about that is the Rockers splitting up. That's it. No one else can think of a memorable episode.
I think that was just to keep him on TV because he was injured, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's the reason he did the whole barbershop thing.
Yeah, but still, it sucked. Okay. Anyway, Beefcake sucks. Before we go, who that well was just, he said that he would love to see a Once Bitten episode. Well, you're in luck because I'm pretty sure that's on the table and that's something that will be discussed this month. So.
Yeah, because we're other than tomorrow, I think at the Halloween new one that's coming up, we're going to try and double up and do of the four Saturdays in October. Two of those are going to be double features. So
yeah,
we'll make Once Bitten one, Rawhead Rex in one, and then try and decide what's going to be the other two, like a Pet Cemetery or a God, we threw out a bunch.
Monster Squad, Pumpkinhead.
Beetlejuice is going to get its own episode because we can talk about the cartoon series, the action figures. The movie's got a lot to say about the movie anyway. So, but yeah, kind of Once Bitten because I have a lot of nostalgia, you know, seeing that when I was hitting puberty. So you're like, oh my God, I'd love to be hit on by an older woman. You know, all the women in that movie are hot too anyway. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe they'd be walking by the arcade as you're beating Final Fight. Who knows?
Yeah, and then Lauren Hutton and Cameron, what's her name, are fighting for my affection in the arcade, and we have to have like epic dance off, and everyone's like clapping and cheering us on, and I got, who the hell am I going to go with after I beat Final Fight? It'd be great. Yeah.
But your fascination with the arcade and picking up chicks, I will never understand.
Everything. Hey, it's no different than like trying to like run fast in front of girls in PE class when you're in elementary school, or trying to score basketball. Anything to make it look like you're alpha in front of the girls in elementary school.
All right, so
you score great in sideline basketball, or you remain undefeated in dodgeball, like you're the only one left standing. I've got to survive, man. You know.
I have a few stories in regards to that. I will only tell one right now. We used to sort of have co-ed PE to a degree.
We did too.
So we would be running on the same track, and I was on the track team and ran the mile and all that stuff at the events. And
Nathan being one of the athletes on the track. Never would have pictured that.
Yeah. I ran the mile, the 800, and then I was on the mile relay team. So, like you, I was kind of like, all right, girls are around. Not necessarily got to run, but you got to look good. The only problem was I have a tendency to be a very gassy person, so I had, like, the running farts. And they were, like, a distance away, so I'm pretty sure they, like, just ran and called
they
it good.
They just went, oh.
Yeah, it's in my mouth.
Damn you, Kennedy.
They start coughing and everything. Yeah, sorry. So, there's my one story, but I do have a few others, but maybe I'll share those tomorrow or another time. We'll get back into that. But Tyler, any closing comments before we go ahead and wrap this up?
I'm just very thankful that we have gotten to Thundercats. You can bet your ass we'll be coming back to Thundercats, because we just want to, like with all these shows, remind you that there's morons who say shit. They don't know shit. And that these shows kick ass, and that, you know, they'll never die. I think they deserve to be treated with great respect. Not just for nostalgia, but because these are some well-written shows with some awesome heroes, kick-ass villains, great stories, fun dialogue. Yes, you've got duds here and there. Every show that's been on television is guilty of it.
Yeah.
But I think Thundercats as a whole is a very well-written show and deserves better. And Brave Star is another one that I think is heavily overlooked and is a very well-written show with some great characters in it as well. So I love Thundercats. When we come back to it, I don't know if we'll do like the Thundercutter, or maybe we'll do Thundercats. Oh, no, we can't do Thundercats, ho, because Nathan doesn't have that volume yet. Damn it.
I can buy that, too. So, just throw some money at it. Why am I working all this overtime anyway?
Yeah, just throw some money at it.
What? I don't have that? You know? Just throw some money at it.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Because Nathan's like the Scrooge McDuck of our podcast. Like, it's just like, you know, he's got his money bin. Like, if he's not talking with us, he's just taking a dive in cash and he's rolling. It's like Cartman. He's like, oh man, look at all this money rolling it around. He's got like a swimming pool. Just
see, I don't like having like actual physical money anymore. I like just using my card all the time. I hate having cash. Like, yes, in certain scenarios, I'll like, if I'm going out of state or something, I'll take out a couple $100 and just make sure that I don't have to use my card elsewhere, because then, you know, banks get weird about that. It's like, well, what are you doing down here? And there's options now, which is great. I can go in and just be, like, turn my card off, or I can be like, I'm gonna be here on this date and this date, that way it doesn't reflect on anything. We've talked about so much weird shit on this
episode.
We're
talking about, you know, we're
softcore porn,
finances,
Bagwell. We're your all-encompassing show. We will talk about anything and everything. Well, most everything and anything.
It's all pop culture references or stuff that, you know what, most of us can relate to. Whether it's, you know, farting in front of girls during track, you know, or hoping a pretty girl's going to acknowledge you for doing great in a video game, as pointless as that may have been.
Can I tell one more story? I don't know if we've talked about this before, but the SOL testing and my cousin John farting during the test and getting in trouble. Because they were very strict about, like, once the testing starts, like, no one can make any exactly, can't make any noise. And he ripped the big-ass fart, and I just, like, I looked at him.
Intentionally?
I don't
know.
Or
was it like, oh, God.
It was probably similar to that. It probably just eked out of him, like, and he couldn't help it. But
the pressure was building up, and he just couldn't.
Yeah, because like
I'm it like one of those classic chairs, so like so the vibration, like
yes, yeah, no, it was loud, and like the way the room was split up, I'm just gonna like here's the room. They had seats on this side, seats on this side. So there's basically like a walkway in the middle. I was sitting in the front of one of the aisles, and he was directly across from the other. So I heard the fart, looked at him, and he just looked like mortified, like put his head down. And all the class started laughing, but like I couldn't stop, and he got in trouble for I think he actually got like lunch detention for that. How crazy is that? Like, how do you?
It was like I didn't mean to.
How did they properly document that? It's like passed gas during SOL test. Like,
that's such the stupid. Teacher, big old prick.
No, yeah, yeah, she was a bitch. She really was. Just looking for anything to get someone in trouble. I wonder if John listens to this show every now and again. I bet he doesn't. But if he does, John...
He probably doesn't know what Thundercats is.
I'm pretty sure he knows what Thundercats is.
Probably not.
Probably not. Anyway, let's go ahead and wrap this up. Thanks to JSP and Who Dat Will and our own Rotten Amato for joining us in the live chat. Speaking of live chat, make sure you hit that subscribe button if you're new to this channel. That way you get notified. Once you ring the bell, you'll get notified when we go live, so you can be in the chat room and just sort of join the discussion. These guys talk amongst themselves most of the time, and we just periodically peer over and see the things that they say. Check out the links down below. Beyond Retro Podcast will take you to the hub. I'm really fucking this up today. We'll take you to the central hub of Pop Culture Network. I think I'm still thinking about John farting. I'm getting sort of like tickled.
Yeah, you gotta tell that story about returning that porn to John of a girl.
I'll tell that one tomorrow.
Oh God!
If
you got like headphone cords,
yeah. Check out Joe Amato's custom creations and buy some of his t-shirts. Check out Fans of Power, the dedicated He-Man podcast that Tyler and Joe do every Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern, and join us tomorrow. For Beyond Retro, we're talking Beetlejuice. As Tyler said before, first episode of kind of like, are we really? Yeah, October. I can't really call it a horror month because they're not. Most of these movies we're doing are not particularly just.
I mean, hell, we're doing Halloween once bitten.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. They're not like we're not doing Halloween 5. People, sorry.
Maybe Joe and I will do that one.
You guys can more than welcome to do an extra bonus episode. Talk about the wonders and the magic of Halloween Part 5.
I'm with you.
Michael Myers.
Hey, Halloween 5 sucks ass.
But Joe is just like, you know, I don't know why he likes that movie. And yet he wants to give me shit for Superman 4. I'm going to kick his ass.
That was a good back and forth you guys had about that. As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, I can't wait to see Tyler's reaction. I made sure specifically at work that day that even if it didn't show up in my feed immediately, I would go and find that post specifically on the page just to see if you had commented on it yet.
Man. Like, you were deliberately antagonizing me about that. You know, like, I'm going to smash his head clean out of his ass. That's what I'm going to do.
And one last thing.
Go all the way to Parts Unknown in Ohio and do it. Right in front of his favorite McDonald's.
Oh, man. One last thing I did want to mention because I always seem to... there's like something in my eye now. Man, anyway, one last thing I wanted to mention before, because I always have a tendency to forget this. If you want to find us on iTunes, look up Pop Culture Network. I haven't tried it, honestly. I'm sure you have, but it'll bring up Capes and Commentaries, Beyond Retro, and Fans of Power podcast. So make sure you subscribe to that on iTunes. That way, I'm assuming they just automatically download from what I used to remember. I haven't messed with iTunes in so long.
Yeah, if you subscribe on iTunes, because that's what I listen to, Tell Them Steve Dave and Bruce Pritchard podcast. If you subscribe, everything downloads automatically. So, and that we don't know. So if you do download that on that, that's great. But let us know you like the podcast. Let us know that you like what we're doing. You know, we hear feedback occasionally, but we'd like to know that, you know, you're enjoying what we have to say. You know, don't be lazy listeners here. Just send us if all you have to say is 5 stars, I don't give a shit. Just say something. Let us know what you think.
Leave a review on iTunes, like this video, share this video, leave a comment down below. Let us know some of your favorite Thundercat episodes. You know, if you've watched that movie that Buff Bagwell was in, if you also had the running farts in front of girls, let us know. Just any of these memories.
Yeah, anything related to this podcast.
Anything.
Yeah. Just please acknowledge us. Give me a reason to get out of the damn bed.
I don't want to go to work. Guys, thanks again for joining us. We'll see if either for a Brave Star next week or maybe a special treat with a special guest.
There you
see
go.
You next time.
We have no idea. Trick or treat.